Bow our heads together and pray to our God. Now, Heavenly Father, we are indeed a privileged people, and we're grateful, Father. Our hearts are full of thanksgiving this morning. We're so grateful, Father, for what we've heard thus far and for coming into your house of prayer, Father, your house of worship, your house of preaching, Father, where we can come and sit down and be together, united with those of like precious faith. And we can have, Father, our licks of fire, unite them together, and we can come and, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another, that we can come together, Lord, and welcome you and bring, we brought you here, we brought your presence, so we're asking that you would do mighty things this morning. Help us to have a good reunion, help us to have a good family gathering. Help us, Father, to exalt you, to have your word, Father, be taught to us, revealed to us, preached to us, and that we may sing about your praises and your glory, Lord. We thank you so much. We ask that you would unveil, Father, every single word we read today to us spiritually, that it may have the life and the power behind it, Father, that we are living it and that we'll continue to live it, and that it will pave the way, Father. It will equip us with the power and with the anointing and with the clarity and the revelation, Father, the inspiration of your Holy Spirit that gives us life. We praise you, we honor you, and I pray that you open up this book of inheritance to us in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. We are on the book of Ephesians, still in chapter 1. If you have brought your book of your inheritance, bring it into verse 11 to 14. We're going to be teaching on those areas there. So just to recap, the first time ever doing a series, and when I when we worked on Ephesians 1, we talked about the mystery of his will, right? And then we talked about heavenly places. I think it was in a different order. Heavenly places first, and then the mystery of his will last time. And it's going to tie perfectly today with today's topic. So it would be the book of Ephesians, inheritance in the saints. When I was reading the book of Ephesians, just with a fresh new set of eyes, that word just kept on popping up. And so I think we should do a study on that, the book, your inheritance, right? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to the believer in this day and this age? And we just heard it being read to you. It's just the Bible, but it's with understanding, and it's just removing the claims, you know, that were put out, and then God making his own claims. Amen. Just showing us, you know, positionally placing you. Amen? It's lovely. So if you do have your Bible in Ephesians 1, verse 11, we're going to read through 14, and then we'll touch on many other scriptures outside of that that talk about inheritance. Ephesians 1, verse 11, in whom, that's not in what, that's a person, in whom also we have, past tense, obtained an inheritance. It's an inheritance in a person, right? That when somebody does live you that. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So it is his will, right? It is his inheritance. We are heirs, and he left us a heritage. One of the things I want to point out is when you look at the word inheritance, and then King James Version, it also brings up the word heritage often and uses them interchangeably. They're pretty much close to the same, but inheritance can be spoken about a land or something, a promise, something physical. When we do hear the word heritage, it tends to have that. It could also mean a bit more deeper, like when somebody gives you like a legacy, when you leave more than just something physical, right? We have an example here of a 50 plus year ministry, right? Brother Dale Sr. that left, I've never met the person, but he left an impression upon people. He left God's word, and he taught on his revelation and saw it for so many years. So that's an example of that, right? You have that opportunity to continue to leave that legacy, that heritage. I remember one time seeing a family that it's just two people coming together. But then you realize that when I went to my grandfather's funeral, 85 or some years of age, and there was 50. If you count the wives of the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, there was 50 people attending that were just direct family. And I'm thinking, that just came from one union. It's just amazing the heritage that you impact, what you leave behind. Amen? And of course, we're talking about the eternal promise, the eternal inheritance. Amen. So just put that in perspective here. We talk about you being an heir. We talk about being joint heirs. We talk about the inheritance that he gave us. We are his inheritance. And we talk about God's heritage, you know, your heritage, God's word. Amen. It's a will he gave us. Verse 12, it talks about, remember talking about inheritance, that we should be the to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. This is us. Verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after, there's two afters there, that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. And that's what we're talking about, because it goes right into 14, which is in another verse, anchor verse for the teaching. It says, which is the earnest of our inheritance. So that Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of promise, is the earnest of, that is your inheritance for now. But then it says, until the redemption of the purchased possession. What's lovely about this inheritance is it's something that is for the now. We have an inheritance now. We will see in this many places. It says this day we are now or have received, obtained an inheritance. But it is also a promise to come. So it's a living inheritance. It's something that is a living will, right? It's a testament. But it is powerful in that, you know, there's really two deaths that happen. You know, it happened in the Savior and it happened in you. Somebody may not say, that's not fair. How come that person can be so blessed after they did so terrible in life? Well, you know, there was two deaths. Amen. So God's word is perfect. Amen. See, Ephesians, going backwards there. Oh, I'm pushing the wrong button here. So Ephesians 14, and then later on in the same chapter in 18, it says, the eyes of your understanding. This is when he starts praying. You know, I pray, and this is a prayer. Being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Those are called a calling. And what are the riches of the glory, see, of his inheritance in the saints. It's his inheritance. It's being lived out already in the saints. Right. And I love how it says in the saints. So it's God's word. It's God's will lived out, Christ in you. But it's just beautiful to think about it, that he left us himself. He left us the ability to rightly divide God's word. He left us the ability to have his mind. No longer I that liveth, but he that liveth in me. I was just walking the dog yesterday and thinking, that's a lot of times where my sermons come from, by the way. So my time alone, I just walking the dog and just pondering on this and just thinking, man, just 1 minute and one decision, because I have this inheritance, I could just make one decision that can impact my entire life for the better. Because see, that's an inheritance. That's the living will that God gave us. And to have his spirit that goes with it, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and to have his will and his word, it's something we highly esteem. In Ephesians 5, later in Ephesians, it says, for these you know, for these you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, none of this, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Right. Amen. So this is the inner man we're talking about. Right. Amen. And that the flesh cannot boast, I know for a fact. Deuteronomy 4:20 says, but the Lord who hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. And that was even in the Old Testament, right? God's own heritage. He says, as you are this day, the Israel. You know, I'm so thankful that he had a dispensation to the Gentiles. And he's brought, you know, Paul, he's brought the different ones. He's brought the anti-messenger to bring us clarity on what is that inheritance. So we'll speak a little bit on inheritance. That was in the book of Ephesians. There's too many scriptures, so I moved some out. But the most time the word inheritance is used is in the book of Ephesians, the New Testament, and in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua. But it's mainly talking about the land and divided the land, inheritance to their inheritance to their inheritance. It's basically rightly dividing, right, the land and so forth. But just, we'll skip over that, but I just wanted you to know that that is the most times that the word inheritance, you know, positionally being placed. The Holy Spirit, right, a type, Joshua. Luke 20:14. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. I wanted to say that in here because it's not an inheritance that can be taken. Think about inheritance is, if you're not on that will, on that book, you can't go and claim it. Amen? So it cannot be snatched away. It has to be, it says, on the purpose of his own counsel, of his own will. So that inheritance is going to follow ye, the believer, you know, to whom his name's on the book. Amen? So I just love that because it is not something, it is, matter of fact, look at this. In Galatians 3:18, it says, for if the inheritance be of the law, making a bit of a contrast here, because, you know, sometimes we are thinking that in the Old Testament, their inheritance came by the law, but it says, it is no more of promise. This is the New Testament not looking into it. It says, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So it's amazing here how we had to think back and look back and see how the inheritance or the promise was actually after faith. Even Abraham had faith. It says that you might think it's circumcision, but it was actually, he had faith, and therefore the circumcision was given to him as a seal. You have faith, and the Holy Spirit of promise is given to you as a seal.
Right.
Amen. It's a promise. It's God's grace all through it. Amen. Yeah, there's a little something that we had to do, maybe dying out or something like that, but the rest is his own grace. No flesh can glory. Acts 20:32, it says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. That's a beautiful statement, huh? The word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you. That word of grace is able to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. It talks about salvation, talking about word of inheritance for those who are sanctified and those who are called. We'll see here, Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And that's just a promise. He says, you know, we're thankful that he's given us, he made us to be partaker. And that's a past tense. So it's something we live out now, and we have promises to come. And it says here, we have, of course, mediator. It says, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal life. Hebrews 9:15. Amen. It says, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament. By means of death, the will, right? For the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, it says, there which are called, talking about redemption, talking about calling, might receive the promise of eternal, not just any timely inheritance, but an eternal inheritance. I think the more we read, the more this book unveils to us. In 1 Peter 1:4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible, and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in you, in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. Amen? I think those are just, it's a beautiful inheritance. I mean, we can have a house, we can have, you know, funds here, we can have the different things, but to have something that will help you walk and fulfill God's purposes here, where there's nothing more fulfilling than that, and then to have the promise of eternal life, eternal inheritance. Amen? In Hebrews, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go on into a place which he should after receive, so it happened before, for an inheritance, he obeyed. He obeyed by faith and went out, not knowing whither he went. See, it's a New Testament looking into the fact there was an element of faith there first. In Return and Jubilee, a message in 62, it says, now wait for the end here. It says, back to Pentecostal inheritance. Yes, sir, that's your possession. Denomination is not your possession. Pentecost is your possession, not a Pentecostal organization. Your fathers come out of such a thing. But then it says, the Pentecostal experience, the word revealed, is your possession. Examine ourselves. The sounding of the trumpet. What kind of a trumpet? The word, God's trumpet, the Holy Ghost, in the word, the spoken word, amen? Joint heirs with Christ. So in Romans 8:17, it says, and if children, then heirs. So now this is us. You know, we have an inheritance, right? But heirs already means the person who the inheritance is for. So in here, now we're going to be reading the scriptures that talk about us as heirs, which means it's a done deal. We have it. And if children, so that means if you're a children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs, himself being an heir with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Suffer, glorified, joint heirs, children. Amen. In Galatians 3:29, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, later in Galatians it says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant. That means he's just like a servant in a way, though he be Lord of all. Lowercase Lord, meaning just if he be owner, if you will, of all, right? But this is, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. And I praise the Lord for that time appointed for of the Father. Amen. Where he does give us his adoption grace, where he does reveal it to yourself, your name, right? And you can see the name, your name in the book. You can see your life lived out on the book. Amen. Galatians 4:7, it says, wherefore thou art no more servant, no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. Joint heir with Christ. A little bit later in Galatians, it says, nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondswoman and her son, for the son of the bondswoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. I mean, we are joint heir with Christ. But you know, one of the things I've been pondering yesterday walking around is that the old nature, this is a type, right? It's not the old nature that's going to inherit this. It's got to be, and it can't. It just, you cannot, old nature cannot inherit these eternal promises. You know, sometimes we can get the two mixed, and it's got to be the inner man that groweth. In Titus 3:7, it says that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. Justification brings you in and starts, you know, there's a inheritance for those justified, sanctified, and for those that are called and filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. In Hebrews 1:2, it says, hath in these days spoken unto us by his Son. You know, in previous days, it says, but now by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Amen. But see, we are joint heirs with Christ, by whom also he made the worlds. Just beautiful thinking about, he left us his entire word, his entire spirit, right? To understand his word, to be able to live out this life, and to have the best thing any man can be offered, and that is just to live eternally, right, with in righteousness, with his righteousness. Hebrews 6:17, wherein God, willing more abundantly, so it's a very strong desire, a very strong will, more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, unchangeability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. So it is something that he is, when you give somebody a will, that is your desire. That's the purpose of your own counsel, of your own will. He says, I want that my wife or husband, or I want that my children, or I want that my nieces, nephews, someone you dearly care for. That is your sigh. And that's why it says, wherein God, willing more abundantly, a very strong desire, a will, to show unto the heirs of promise how non-changing his counsel is. And he confirmed it by an oath. In Hebrews 11:9, it says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. You see the promise going in? And he says he dwelt with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of him of the same promise. You know what I learned when I was studying this? Is we're joint heirs with Christ. We're not heirs with the sons of the bondswoman. So that's no. And then and when it comes to marriage, I believe I put a scripture in there. It says that we are heirs with her. So we're joint heirs in that sense. And in here, it's talking about just an example how, I've never seen it that way, but it says here that by faith, you know, talking about Abraham dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. That promise kept on moving and kept on moving, and then it expanded into the spiritual seed, not just Israel. Amen. Hebrews 11:7, it says here, Going down here, by faith, Noah, I'll skip down to my highlight here. It says, became heir of righteousness. I was speaking a little bit about righteousness. Heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. It's just beautiful that even in the New Testament is able to go back and discern the faith that was in the Old Testament believers. We just saw right now where Abraham is being taught that it was by faith that he went out and sojourned to a place he didn't even know where to go, but he sojourned by faith. And it is, you know, as we know, this is the Hall of Fame, by faith this person, by faith this person. And a lot of those, if I recall, that we're speaking on was the Old Testament saints. Amen? In James 2:5, but he is connecting that to the inheritance of righteousness because it was through faith. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? This is a good one to cinch in right for the topic of our inheritance. When you really have that genuine love for God and you are rich in faith, regardless of your natural goods, you know, he says, my beloved brethren, he had not chosen the poor, it says, the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. Amen. In 1 Peter 3:7, it says, likewise, ye husband, dwell with them. So this is your wife now, your spouse. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. So that's the wife. As unto a weaker vessel, and as being heirs together. Nothing to be taken lightly. To be heirs together of the grace of life. The grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It also has an important benefit with that, right? And it's for the husband here. So about three or four things it's saying. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel. But there's a strong one here for this topic, as being heirs together. Just like we are joint heirs with Christ, we're heirs together. Amen. Look at what you're heir of. It says here, of the grace of life. Remember we say the word of grace, the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Is that important? God's heritage here. So in here, the Bible refers to it as God's heritage. And what I took from here is inheritance is a typifying a land or a given, right? But heritage, it's more of is the continuation, if you will. It's a bit more functional, if you can say that way. In Spanish, I believe it keeps on using the same word, but I want to make a quick distinction. Most of the scriptures I read here now talk about God's heritage or heritage. See, thy testimonies in Psalm 119, you know, he speaks about his word. Have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. So see, it's a inheritance or a heritage you can start living out now, and it causes a rejoicing of your heart when you hit the God's word in your heart, something that no one can get in there and take that away. The reaction to inaction, the message. He's a defeated person, talking about Satan or the devil in previous to this. Do you believe that? He's just a big bluff. He has no legal rights over us. We are free children, born of the Spirit of God. So we read the scripture. We have a right to this. It's God's heritage, and we believe it. Amen. When God shows you that revelation, that word already did not come back to him void, because that's it just accomplished in you already that eternal purpose of his own counsel and his will. Psalm 16:6, the lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yep, I have a goodly heritage. Amen. 61, it says, for thou, O God, hath heard my vows. Can you imagine that? Your own vows, he heard them. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. You know, when you have that fear of the Lord, one of the messages I first taught on, and it says he gives you that from your bowels, you cry out, and he has given you that heritage to those that fear. To those that fear the Lord. There's a thought that was coming through. I'm trying to get back to it. And given me that heritage of the vows. I'll come back in a moment here. Hath heard my vows, your longing, you know, the deep calling to the deep. when as you're longing for it, it says, when it has given me that heritage to those of those that fear thy name. Amen. In Isaiah 54:17, we have a scripture that says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Right. And we know the scripture, but then later on it says, this is the heritage of the saints, of the Lord. So see, every scripture you read that's yours, that's your inheritance. Every scripture that's been taught and revealed and the message has called out, the trumpet sound, and it's been made life to you, you are living out your inheritance. You're walking out the land already.
Amen.
Amen. And you have promises to come. That no weapon, this is your heritage, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. And 1 Peter says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, talking to the elders here, but being examples of the flock. You know, God's heritage. Amen. And the world is, wrapping up here, the world is fading apart. In Message in 63 in April, it says, God be merciful. He was actually saying this in a prayer. Let's go to this kingdom. Let's go to where we can find and we can live after that kingdom. Then your thoughts are holy. Your things, our thoughts, are above where your inheritance lives. I mean, our inheritance lives. This is something you do now. You might think, well, you don't have to wait until, well, I mean, he did die already. So you're living it now. It's just that you have promises for now and for the time to come. The breach, this is a very important message, right? The breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals. Message 63 in March 17th, a little bit before March 17th. And here was a mystery. And this mystery was hidden. All right? It says, it was sealed around and put there. The claim to so-and-so, meaning to a certain name or person. Then the next mystery was wrapped around what this inheritance was. So see, we taught on the mystery of his will just verses before here in Ephesians. And the mystery of his will, later in here, of course, we read, I think it was on verse 13, where it talks about that you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, right? So it says, all right, it was sealed and around and put there, the claim. Then the next mystery was wrapped around, what is the inheritance, what this inheritance was. And stuck out there on this side, it's showing how the books were in a roll, and the claim to sow and sow. Amen. So, typifying as the eagle here, it says, as the eagle stirs his nest in the message, he's preaching another message, but he's saying, as I taught on my other message, God likened his heritage to an eagle and himself as Jehovah Eagle, right? We know that. God, in the bottom, it says, God likens his prophets to eagles. But don't stop there. In another message, it says, in Return and Jubilee, it says, just flop your wings. That's your God-given deliverance. You are born an eagle. You got an inheritance. Come on higher. Get out of that stuff. Return back. Amen. And just wrapping up here, just remember how Ruth said, thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. This is what Ruth said. In other words, she said, I'm taking this inheritance. Amen. This is what, you know, when I was reading this scripture, it made me think, you know, what impression that husband of her, natural husband, left on her. That she's basically, even after he's gone, he's following Naomi. He's following, I think more than Naomi, I think he's following, he says, thy people will be my people, and thy God will be my God. Amen.
Amen.
And we know that God gave her an inheritance. She was heir, and then God gave her an inheritance, and to this day. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who hath known the mind of God, the Lord, last scripture, that he may instruct him? See, but we have his inheritance. We have the mind of Christ. And that's to be able to learn and have revealed this Bible. Is the best inheritance we can have is to know his will. And to know the mystery of his will. To know what he's doing at this day and this age. To know what are the promises to come. And to know that it's an inheritance, like it says, that it's rejoicing in my heart. That we can enjoy that we can unpack now. You don't have to wait till Christmas time to open it or something like that. Amen. May the Lord bless us and enjoy the worship service and the preaching this day. Praise the Lord. Amen.